As I said in my opening words of welcome, both today's collect and two of the three readings have things to say about sheep and shepherds. Hence we've had sheep and shepherds in, or mentioned in, our first two hymns. But while I shall touch upon this theme in due course, all three passages that we've heard have instructions and challenges for those who call themselves Christians, followers of Christ. So I want to start with that passage Matthew read for us from the Acts of the Apostles, where there is no mention of sheep and shepherds. What we do have there is the life of the first, very first Christian community, the very earliest church. Notice that they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves, it says. There was no picking and choosing, you know, we'll do this but we won't do that when it suits me. No, here was a new radical grouping. They were still very much part of Judaism, hence the passage tells us they spent time in the temple. But they were devoted. They were committed. Devoted, committed Christians. It always gets me when somebody describes him, oh, he's a committed Christian, as though you can actually have an uncommitted Christian. I'm sorry, an uncommitted Christian is a contradiction in terms. So what did they devote themselves to? Well, we're told. Firstly, to the apostles' teaching, the teaching of the apostles. They were followers of Jesus who were keen to learn from the disciples, who no doubt passed on the teaching of Jesus and their understanding of the significance of his death and resurrection. And they devoted themselves to it, we're told. So, my question and challenge, or first challenge of this morning, how devoted or committed are you and I to learn more about our professed faith, to read and better understand the scriptures, to grow in faith? For surely that is what we in turn are called to do. You often hear the jargon these days of lifelong learning for people to pursue their career or even to change career. Well, I think we should devote ourselves to lifelong Christian learning as well, to grow in faith and understanding. Those early believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And they devoted themselves, secondly, to fellowship. How many times have you heard people say, oh, I can be a Christian without going to church? Well, that wouldn't have washed with these early believers. They had no church building, didn't even have one like us to borrow from somebody else. But they met together. They had fellowship together. They shared meals together. It was a significant part of their lives, fellowship one with another. I often say when describing worship, our worship together, that it should be both vertical between me and God, but it is also horizontal, me worshipping with my fellow believers. And this is the place for fellowship, for coffee hour afterwards, when we sometimes meet in small groups, as we have been up until now, on Tuesday evenings. Fellowship together is important for Christians. We should not be isolated, though some people sometimes are, but that is not the ideal by a long way. They devoted themselves to fellowship, time spent together. Thirdly, they devoted themselves to breaking of bread. Now, of course, there's debate by scholars as to what is meant here. Was it shared meals, or, as we would understand it, communion or the Eucharist? Often, of course, in those days, shared as part of within the context of a meal, a love feast, an agape. But one of the very clear instructions of Jesus at the Last Supper was, when he broke bread and shared the cup, was to do this in remembrance of me. And we're told in many places in the Acts of the Apostles that the early Christians met together on the first day of the week, on a Sunday, celebrating the resurrection, to break bread. Coming together as we do Sunday by Sunday to break bread, to receive the cup, is important, following the example of those early believers who devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And finally, they devoted themselves to prayer. I'm sure we're all agreed that prayer is a good thing, although often we're not very good at actually doing it, although we think it's a very good thing to do. That we have corporate prayer. We will have our intercessions led by Jack later in this service. When we met on Tuesday evenings, we've ended by saying evening prayer together. Important also. But of course, we can in turn offer and have private prayer as well. So the example of those first believers, the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers. Not only that, you may notice that, my word, they sold things and shared their possessions. Do we have here the early form of communism, which I probably shouldn't mention in this or other countries of the former Warsaw Pact? They held things in common. Was it idealistic and it didn't work? Hence, as some scholars say, St. Paul had to do the great collection for the church in Jerusalem because they were struggling, there was a famine, they had no food. Or is it an example of selflessness which we can learn from, so that we can in turn help those who are in need? I leave you to think about that one, but they certainly shared their possessions together. And note what we're told. They had the goodwill of the people, and they drew in more people, more believers, by what others saw this new community doing. The Lord added day by day those who were being saved. The example of the very first Christian church, the very first believers. As Christians, of course, we are followers of Christ. And we are instructed to follow Christ's example by Peter in his first epistle in suffering. You notice that in the opening words of that passage that Salita read to it. Is it a credit to you if being aware of God, it is a credit to you, sorry, being aware of God, that you endure pain while suffering unjustly? Because don't tell people to become a Christian to find the easy life. Yes, there is joy. Yes, in this Easter season, we can cry out, Alleluia, Alleluia. But also, if we are to do, as Peter tells us, to follow in Jesus' steps, it may also mean suffering. Read what Peter wrote. He committed, that is, Jesus committed, no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten. As Christians, we shouldn't go around looking for suffering. Of course, you have examples, there certainly were examples in some Roman Catholic communities of self-flagellation. That's not necessarily what we're called to do. But we should be ready to suffer for our faith. And particularly to remember and pray for those who in this world do suffer because of their faith. And I'm glad that on several occasions, in intercessions led by various people, we have prayed for those who do, in various parts of our world, suffer because they profess the Christian faith. Yes, as followers of Christ, let's follow his example, which may in turn include suffering. And so to shepherds and sheep, finally. Notice the words of the collect. Teach us to hear your voice and follow your command. Teach us to hear your voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd, and follow your command. Any of you who have pets like we do, or children, will know that it's one thing for the child or the pet to hear. It is another for them to act and to follow. first ever cat that I had. I had from a Welsh-speaking family when I was lived in Wales when I was at university, and was christened by a Welsh-speaking friend, Pussy Bach, which is like the Czech diminutive, little cat. He actually ought to be Pussy Mar, because he grew up to be rather big. And I used to say he was a bilingual cat, was Pussy Bach, because you could speak to him in Welsh or English. And he didn't take a blind bit of notice of you in either language. Yes, teach us to hear your voice and follow your command. It's one thing to hear, it's another to follow. So I ask the question, has God spoken to you today? Maybe, I hope, through something that I've said, or from just hearing the scriptures read to us. If so, don't just hear, act upon what you've heard. Follow the Good Shepherd where he wants to lead you. So in conclusion this morning, let us be people with a desire, like those first believers, a desire to learn, value and seek fellowship. Be regular as you've come this morning at communion, committed to prayer, and seek to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, even though it may mean suffering, listening always for that still small voice. And when you hear it, follow. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.